The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think a good parable is like a good joke. It's best not to try to explain it. So, okay, I've let myself off the hook. Got nothing left to do now. Okay. Jesus gives us these quite powerful images, and it's worth our while to read them and reflect upon them and to pray with them, and so on and so forth. It's good to think. Right, so we can take these passages, and I would challenge you with any number of questions when looking at these parables, these three parables that Jesus gives in rapid succession here. I would say, how are they all similar? And how are they all different? Do they hold together? Do they not? And I think they do, obviously, right? They have one source and they have one ultimate purpose. But they're all different. Either he wouldn't give us all three of them. So I give you homework. Okay? I'll give you some homework. I'm not going to grade it, so I guess that means you're not going to do it. But we'll talk about it maybe. So let me touch on a few themes then here in the parables that come out that I think help reorient our efforts there in our own prayer and reflection, study, and meditation. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, to begin with, is the rule of God. So have you ever thought to yourself that things are not as they should be? Things are not as they should be. If you haven't had that thought, you're crazy. Okay, so that's one. So yes, you have had that thought. But look around you. Isn't the world crazy? I don't say that I'm going to, you know, say that the world's crazy. I didn't say that. But are things the way they should be? And if they're not the way they should be, where do you get your image of what the world should look like? Where do you get that image from? If you don't get it from God, where does it come from? If what you see is all there is, then we have no right to say the world is not as it should be. It's only if there's something better that we can say the world is not as it should be. And that something better is the rule of God. The same God who created us has sent prophets and kings to bring us his rule so that we can live as we were always intended to live. And we're in outright rebellion against God until such time as Jesus in himself embodies the kingdom of God and so brings it to birth anew in the world. Okay, so there is a kingdom of God, the rule of God, and that rule then is meant to take hold of us, our hearts and our lives. We allow God to rule in us, to order every single aspect of our hearts, our passions, our dreams and desires, our thoughts, our feelings, and the rest. And so ordering us, he brings order again to all of creation, because he rules then through us, giving us love, loving us to the full. We then have an overflowing of love for the people around us, right? A desire to do only what is best for everyone we encounter. Okay, the kingdom of God. Now, how do we encounter the kingdom of God? How do we come to possess the kingdom of God? And here in Jesus' parables, we see some sense of what it takes. I'm amazed by this merchant, a merchant in pearls. Okay, so this is someone who's buying and selling pearls. And who knows what he likes, and who knows why he buys it. But he comes across a pearl of great price. And what does he do? It's not as calculating as what we do. And I think Jesus wants us to see the conviction and the solidity of movement of this merchant. We say like, oh, you know, can I afford it? Can I not? How much of what I have do I have to give up in order to get that? What does Jesus say? He goes and sells all that he has and buys it. And for us, we say, man, that guy's intense, right? That guy is single-minded, right? That guy's moving with purpose. But we might say also, like, that guy's crazy. You know, like, what? He sells all that he has for one pearl. I get it that he likes pearls, but to sell all that you have for one pearl? This is the kingdom of God. Okay, so when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter God's love, which, by the way, is being offered to us every moment of every single day, when we encounter that love, we realize it's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters. And so we give up, to begin, we give up everything that would prevent us from encountering that to the full. We give up everything that will prevent us from coming to Jesus, from turning over everything in our life to Jesus, right? We give it all up, all the obstacles. But then even more, we give up everything, because we realize that we see the world in the wrong way. We see the world as people who possess many things. And one pearl, even of great price, for us, seems like one thing among other things. And so we give it a bit of attention, right? We give God a bit of attention. We give him some lip service. We love him, right? We love him. But we realize that he's calling us forth into the depths. He's calling us not only to give up those things that are obstacles to him, but to give up everything. And to throw our entire life on God. To give our entire life to God. And when we give our entire life to God, when we give our entire life trusting and following Jesus to God, then the rest starts to make sense. Right? Then the rest can be managed and worked on in the rest. Okay? What Jesus is doing in this parable is confronting a way that we are just indifferent or kind of blah. It doesn't matter. Right? So in Jesus' time, just like ours, there was this idea that even religions or religious sentiment or ideas and philosophies and whatever, you could take the best from each, right? And all these things were pearls. And you put them on a nice string. And what does Jesus say? It's not that way. One pearl. It might not look nice on the string, right? But one pearl. Throw everything on Jesus. Trust and follow Jesus in everything. And that's all we need. It's all we need. So Jesus is confronting that indifferentism. Because if we believe we can take some from here and some from there, then we don't care about anything. We don't truly care about anything at that point. What we're doing is becoming prideful because we then are the center of our own existence, because we like this, so I'm going to take that, I like that, I'm going to take that, and we leave everything else go. Well, then I love myself. I don't love Jesus, right? I've trusted myself. I'm following myself. I'm not trusting and following Jesus. Okay, that's one. The second is this, that once we have made that decision to follow Jesus with everything we have and everything we are, then we find that the kingdom of God is coming to bear in the world, and it applies to all. It applies to everyone. This is the net that's thrown into the sea and brings up all fish. Is that what it said? Brings up, here we go. I want to get it right here, okay? Which collects fish of every kind. Of every kind. So we could say all fish are gathered by this net that's thrown into the sea. No, the fish are not, there's not one like left out and whatever. Oh, well, this doesn't apply to him. Okay, the kingdom of God applies to all. And there's a sorting at the end of the age. So as to say, there's an indifferentism again for us. Like, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, is the kingdom of God coming to bear or is it not? And sometimes it seems like it's not. We look around ourselves and go, oh, what is going on in this world? Right? It's upside down. Right? And we don't see how people's lives being reclaimed by God, people coming to learn to live and love God anew, and so have overflowing love for neighbor. Are we seeing that? Do we see that in ourselves? Do we have something to say about the kingdom of God and its effect on our lives? The rule of God in my heart and my life. Can we give witness to that or can we not? Because the kingdom of God applies to all, and all are judged by its standards. The kingdom of God, truth, righteousness, justice, love, mercy, forgiveness, right? All good things. And the bad fish that are thrown away, wickedness, right? Not truth, not goodness, not righteousness, and the rest. They're all sorted. But the thing with that is that we here see, instead of then our lives as this pathway that is ultimately leading to nowhere, we have the great horizon of the full implementation of the kingdom of God, of which we are called to be a part of now as Jesus' disciples. Having given up everything, thrown ourselves on Jesus as the pearl of great price, we're then called to implement God's loving rule in the world. And that's our horizon. So let me give you two questions. Again, more homework. I won't be grading it. Maybe God will grade it eventually. Okay? I would say, I give you homework. One, what is preventing you? Part A and B. What is preventing you from embracing the pearl of great price? From selling? What are those things that, what is the everything else that you're called to sell to throw yourself totally on the love of God? To give yourself totally over to Jesus. What's holding you back? Okay? That's number one. We've got to overcome those things. The second is, what if in your life you could imagine what would success look like for you? Like when you get to the end of it all, what would success look like for you? And then I'll ask you, what does it have to do with your encounter with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus? What does it have to do with how God is calling you to implement, to bring about his kingdom, his rule of love in the world? If it doesn't have anything to do with that, my friends, then we got to get rid of a lot of stuff. We got to go back to the heart of Jesus that loves us beyond measure so that we can receive his love and begin to put it into action in our lives for the good of those around us.